Allahu Akbar. So we connect ourselves to their heart, and their heart are in that light over there, not in the limited light of this world, not in the thick veils of this world. They have lifted the veils. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to come nearer to Him, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became the hearing with which they hear, the sight with which they see, the hand with which they touch, and the feet with which they walk, until they are so near to Him that you feel that you look to them and you see Haqq. You are with them and you are with Haqq. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to when He said, أَلَا أَنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never fear. There is no fear for them. They will never be sad. Even if everybody fears, everybody around them fears and panics, everybody is sad and depressed, but they are not, because their heart is with the highest company, and their mind and their sight is on the highest prize, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His, what He has prepared. وَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. No one knows what has been hidden and kept for them that will refresh them and refresh their sight, and when they see it, they will be so happy. مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً لِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As a reward for what they used to do in this world of good. So if we cannot be them, if we cannot be like them, at least we want to be with them. And who are they? They are those who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are those who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we read in the hadith last week, those who, when you look to them, they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you mention Allah, you think of them also. These are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are those who know Allah and who describe Him and His attributes and His gifts and His prophets and His books. And they are the ulama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the full sense of the word. I don't mean by ulama the superficial sense. I don't mean someone who has memorized and who is just a recorder. I don't mean someone who only knows words. No. Someone who brings to you the meanings and the states, the spiritual states that go with those meanings, because they themselves live those meanings. And these are very rare. These are like the pure gold. Is there any such thing as pure gold? It's so rare that it almost does not exist, but it does exist. It is very rare, and we have to look for it. And among those of pure gold are the four imams of the four schools, of law. In Islam, Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Nu'man ibn Thabit, Al-Taymi Mawlahum, he was said to be of Persian origin, and he lived in Iraq. That's Imam Abu Hanifa, the earliest of the four remaining Sunni schools of fiqh in Islam. Then Imam Malik ibn Anas Al-Asbahi, who lived and died in Medina al-Munawwara. And then Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i of Mecca, originally of Yemen, who lived in Baghdad and then moved to Egypt, where he died. And then the last one of them, of the four imams, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal of Iraq, who died in Baghdad. These four imams, for us, they are the strongest lights on the path to Allah and His Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to find a path, a correct path to the Quran and the Sunnah? How many sects there have been and groups that each one of them says, we follow the Quran and the Sunnah, and some will say, we follow, and no, you don't follow, no, you... So we are confused, but these four imams, they lit the way for us in such a way that they dispelled confusion once and for all. So that when one says we follow the Quran and the Sunnah, when they say we follow the Quran and the Sunnah as these four imams followed, then we know that the chances are very strong that we are on the right path. And in fact, we are sure that we are on the right path by following one of those four imams. And so for us, anything that is outside of those four imams in this day and time today, we do not consider that they are on the right path. We consider that they are taking a path that is full of risks and full of danger and closer to misguidance, and that may or may not lead them to the right destination. But by following one of these four paths that the four imams opened for us, then we know that we are holding on to the firm rope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down with His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِي الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي عَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. That grasp onto it and bite onto it with your teeth as if you are holding on to dear life, and do not let go. And that is the path that he and his companions followed. And these four imams kept for us the path of the Prophet ﷺ that he followed and his companions followed, and clarified it, codified it, organized it, and compiled it, so that the schools that came in their wake didn't add anything except more and more clarification, more and more elucidation and elaboration of the basis that they themselves laid down, and the principles that they laid down on the foundation of the Quran and the Sunnah and the schools of the Sahaba. And we begin with the first of these blessed four Imams. May Allah be well pleased with them and benefit us with them and their lights, their learning and their knowledge and blessings. Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man ibn Thabit ibn Kawus ibn Hurmuz ibn Marzuban al-Taymi, who was born in the year 80 after the Hijrah and died in the year 150, the very year that Imam al-Shafi'i was born, 80 to 150. Imam Malik called Imam Abu Hanifa the true faqih. Abu Dawood called him al-Imam, the Imam. And Imam al-Zahabi called him faqih al-Millah, the faqih of our community. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani called him the Imam, one of those who have reached the sky. One of those who have reached the sky. In other words, nothing can reach up to him anymore. You cannot hope to catch up with him. And certainly, in Ibn Hajar's understanding, when he said that, you cannot hope to say anything against him. He is beyond your reach. That's what he meant when he said he is one of those who have reached the sky. And he is known also in our Ummah as Al-Imam Al-A'zam. Al-Imam Al-A'zam, the greatest Imam. You can say that title usually refers to the overall leader of the Ummah, the overall political leader of the Ummah, like the Caliph. He is Al-Imam Al-A'zam. Just as the Jihad Al-A'zam is the Jihad ordered by the Caliph. That is the Jihad Al-A'zam. But in the sense of our history of our fiqh, we might say that because Imam Abu Hanifa was the earliest of the schools that still exist, then you may call him Al-Imam Al-Azam. Or because perhaps the greatest number of Muslims today that follow a single mazhab, you might say that they are those of his school. So we may call him because of that Al-Imam Al-Azam with respect to numbers. Or for the blessing also, because if number is an indication of blessing, then he has, mashallah, a great and a huge blessing. So we may refer to that also as Al-Imam Al-Azam. Be as it may, Imam Abu Hanifa holds a special place in the heart of every sincere, pious, respectful, knowledgeable Muslim. Why? Because of all the qualities that we just mentioned. And so much so that one of the Huffaz of Hadith, Abu Muawiyah al-Darir, whose full name is Muhammad ibn Khazim al-Taymi al-Sa'di al-Kufi of Kufa, So much so that he said, love of Abu Hanifa is a proof of your sunnah, is a proof of your holding on to the sunnah. So, you know, the marks of one following the sunnah vary. They are not necessarily the same in every single person, but they have been summed up in various ways. Imam Abu Hanifa said, what is the sunnah, following the sunnah? The sunnah is three things. The sunnah is loyalty to the two sheikhs, Abu Bakr and Umar. Love of the two sons-in-law, Uthman and Ali. And wiping on the hoof. So understand this well, because this has many lessons in it. Lessons of history, lessons of aqidah, lessons of fiqh. And it's the dividing line between the Ahlul Sunnah and those who are not Ahlul Sunnah. Loyalty to Abu Bakr and Umar, as opposed to those who say, no, it shouldn't have been them. No, we say, it should have been them, it was them, and alhamdulillah, we believe that until the resurrection that this was right, and this was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted and loved. Loyalty to Abu Bakr and Umar as the Khulafa al-Rashidin. Love of Uthman and Ali together. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the contemporaries of Imam Abu Hanifa, also his colleague in Iraq, he said, if you love Uthman and Ali together, you are a person of Sunnah. Love of Uthman and Ali do not meet in the same heart of someone who is not following the Sunnah. Because they would either say, no, this one or that one, but not two together. So we love, alhamdulillah, both of them together, and we have allegiance to Abu Bakr and Umar together, and we love all four. And then the third sign of the sunnah, Abu Hanifa said, is to wipe on the khuf in wudu, to say that this is correct. Because as you know, the non-Sunni people, they say, no, it's not correct to wipe on khuf, the Shia, for example. So if you are wearing khuf, this is a mark that you are a Sunni person. This is a proof that you are.